Welcome to Manager Tools. Getting goals from your boss, part two. Here we go.
If your knowledge of desk, high D's, I's, S's, and C's, the perfectionists, the Attila the Huns, the marketers, the team players, if that has helped you become more effective at work, you'll want to seriously consider coming to our Effective Communications Conference. We set the basics of DISC in an hour or so, and then we spend the rest of the day teaching you how finally to communicate effectively, which is to pay attention to what your listener does and communicate in a way that makes sense to them. At the end of the day, you'll be able to read someone in a conversation, determine their major DISC tendency, and then based on that, make some changes in how you deliver to improve the chances that you get harmony and congruence and collaboration and not drama, conflict, and tension. Come see us.
Last week, Mark, you kind of walked us through all the data we can collect around getting goals from your boss. And there's a lot. But of course, then you just don't dump it on your boss. There's some preparation that you need to do.
Yeah. In fact, I felt like we went into a lot of detail last week, and there's yet even more preparation because, as we mentioned, there's risk. You want to be aware of the potential risk. And basically what we're going to do now in preparing is to see what all the data you've gathered tells you about your role and how you can use it. And this is the hardest step because your goals and your metrics aren't what you do, but they're measures of how well you're supposed to do them. And it's completely normal. It's one thing for us to have a good sense of what we do. It's another thing entirely to figure out how your boss is going to want to measure that. And I think I said this in our first part, but think of this effort you're making as having three parts: the work you do, how to measure it, and the standards for your performance. The work should be pretty clear. The measurement may not be, and we'll make a lot of suggestions here. And the standards, which are whether you have to get half or three quarters or all or whatever goal might be set for you, might very well be a stab in the dark if it's never been shared with you before. You know, an example, when you study geometry in school, largely the work was geometry problems, right? We talked about this last show. The measurement was how many of the problems you got right, and the standard was the grading scale you were measured against. Another example, project management. The work is the project. The measurements likely are timeliness, budget, and scope. And the standards are then, within each of those areas, goals to achieve. For instance, deliver within 72 hours of deadline, budget maybe plus or minus 1%, and scope might be characterized as customer satisfied sign-off. And so you probably know the work, and we're going to hopefully help you with the measures, and maybe in some cases you'll be able to figure out what the standard will be. But it's most likely that you're going to need your boss to set the standards, even though you can certainly make recommendations if you want to go that far. So what we're faced with now is figuring out what the measure should be. If you have clear measures, count yourself lucky, in a way, anyway.
Yeah, sales is a good example of that, right?
Yeah. You know, I feel very lucky that I started in sales first part of my career. I didn't realize the extent to which sales, until I left sales, how much grief sales got by other departments. But the clarity of sales goals, you know, basically, did you make your number or not, full stop, can be great. Your number is clear. On the other hand, it can be a concern too, because now your measure is clear to your boss and to you and to everybody else. It becomes very black and white. Did you or did you not achieve the goal? You know, looking at it from the other way, which I think affects the vast majority of managers and individual contributors in the world, if your number isn't clear, they can't hold you accountable for that number.
Which is not necessarily a good thing, because they're going to hold you accountable for other stuff that you may or may not be aware of.
Right? Yeah, exactly. And so, this part of the system is completely messed up, and it's all human frailty, and we're not going to change it overnight. But in the next 100 years or so, management will figure it out. But look, when it comes to measuring your work, you don't need to be exactly right. If you meet with your boss and you have some pretty good examples, some proxies, some measures, and maybe you recommend some goals. If you're wrong, she'll correct it. If you're close, she'll adjust it. Chances are for most of us, your boss, our boss, hasn't thought about this a great deal, or at least hasn't thought about solving it publicly a great deal. And if he hasn't, he may well consider what you propose as a template to apply to everyone, which could be, again, both good and bad. So when we're thinking about measures, remember to make sure whatever you choose as a measure is something you can measure. Don't create or write down what you think of as the perfect measure that will take your PMO a week to create a spreadsheet for every month. Don't use something that isn't already tracked or that you don't have the time to create the tracking process for. Or don't create something that will take someone else an hour to decipher.
Right. Okay. So when you said choose something that you can measure, the emphasis is on you, right? Something that you can measure, not something that you rely on somebody else to measure.
Yeah, exactly.
And something that you can measure now versus something that you need to go create some system and take 5 weeks to figure out how you're going to measure it.
Yeah. In fact, when you look at large companies and people think, oh yeah, companies' measures are clear. So if we're talking about a profit company, well, it's profit. Okay. But that's not the mission or the goal of the company. Profit is actually a proxy. It's just one way to measure the company. And if you've paid any attention to things that happen on Wall Street or investment banking or in stock markets in general all over the world, the Bourse or Hang Seng, anything like that, they are measuring bunches of things of companies, and many of those things are intention. So it's okay to measure two or three things and to not have them be perfect.
That's what I was going to ask you about, because you know, a lot of folks' experiences, well, you ask me to measure what I do. Well, there's no way to measure it exactly. I mean, how do I measure how good my code is, for example? How do I measure that? So you get locked in this battle and months go by and you still haven't figured out how to measure it perfectly.
I didn't include it here because people have told me it's snarky, but a simple rule, and now that I'm thinking about it, I probably should include it, so I'll just say it. A simple rule for off the top of your head, trying to measure the work that you do. You mentioned code. This is the example. That's the situation I was in when somebody said, well, you can't measure it. And I said, well, actually, I can. I can measure the number of words and all kinds of other things too. And they're like, well, that's not. And I said, look, here's the simplest way. I'm going to ask you to think about writing code. Okay. Is there somebody in your team who's really good? Yeah. Is there somebody in your team who's not very good? Yeah. Okay. Can you tell me the differences? Yeah. Well, that's what to measure.
Right.
And look, you could measure whether or not you meet the deadline, how many bugs were fixed, how many operational faults are found in the first 3 to 6 months due to your code, you know, whether or not your code is commented. I mean, look, we measure manufacturing facilities for whether or not they have the right part at the right time on the factory floor. Because if parts are always late, we believe that's going to lead to a delay in manufacturing. And I don't think people understand, Mike, you and I have had this conversation many times about how it's easy to push things back and delay things. But if you push a project back and it's 2 months late getting out into the market, if you're not aware of how the company runs or how the company produces cash by selling things, you don't realize that not only are you costing more labor, probably, so the cost is going up, even though it may not be directly accounted for in the price of the good, but you've just lost 2 months worth of revenue. The month that comes out as the first month would have been the third month that the product was in sales. So now that third month is essentially your first month. And so you've basically taken that first month sales, let's say it's $10 million, and moved it back 3 months. So the first 2 months, which may have been $10 and $12 million, you've just cost the company, what is that, $22 million in 2 months. Now you might say, well, we're going to make the money later. Yeah, but we have to plan our budgets and we have to plan our processes and we have to plan our cash flow and so on. So a lot of people want to come up with the right measurement, and I understand it. And the fact is, you're probably not going to. you're going to come up with something that approximates how well you're doing. And that question of who's really good at what you do and who's not really good at what you do, that could give you some indication of some things. Now, our favorite way to do this is to create, and I've mentioned it already, a proxy. You know, rather than wondering what the right measurement is that someone else knows, and that's that, you know, Mike, you and I have talked about this before about managers, the rampant problem of, oh, well, I don't know it, but somebody else does. And that makes me feel bad. Trust me, guys.
Yeah, that makes me feel stupid, and I'm not going to expose my ignorance by asking somebody.
Exactly, right. Rather than looking for the perfect measurement, use a measurement that reasonably represents the activity you're measuring. Don't worry just yet what the organizational standard is. If there is one, the boss is going to share it with you. Don't worry about best in class either. If they exist, but you don't know them, and your boss and your company don't know them or use them, don't let the perfect be the opposite of the good. And this is why proxies make so much sense, in part because until we all get taught the science of measuring work, which is not a trivial endeavor, the individual who does the work ought to have some input into the measurement of the work, or at least a person close to them, their manager, but the manager's not doing it. And by the way, virtually everything that's measured in large organizations internally is in fact a proxy for something else. Yeah, we want that. We want that part to be where it's supposed to be on time, but it's actually a proxy to help us either diagnose problems or to predict our likelihood of meeting our overall organizational goal. In this case, say, you know, product shipped out the door. Even product shipped out the door on time is a proxy for we're going to make money on those products when we said we would.
Right. There's probably some people that are still struggling with the idea of a proxy. Do you have a good example? But maybe outside of the business world and.
Yeah, this is one of my all-time favorites, and I admit this is not a perfect example of a proxy because I've used this a lot, and the vast majority of people in the room nod their head and go, "Yeah, okay, that makes sense." Then some people go, "Yeah, I don't get it." One guy actually said, "I don't run the 40-yard dash. How is that relevant to me?" So, if you're struggling with the idea of a proxy, here's a popular example, actually, a couple of them. The NFL, the National Football League, has an annual combine, and they put players through a series of tests. And two of them, the bench press and the 40-yard dash test, are well known.
And just for those who aren't in the United States and not familiar with American football, so this is generally, right, folks coming out of college who are essentially applying, right, want to get drafted into the NFL, become a professional player. And so this is part of the evaluation criteria.
Yeah, you have to be invited. You have to be a top prospect. And they go to an event in Indianapolis every year where their skills are tested through various events, bench press, vertical jump, broad jump, 40-yard dash, and all kinds of skill tests and so on. Now, look, they have to do a bench press, and everybody has to do bench press and 40-yard dash. No pro player will ever do a bench press during a game. And there are guys who do a lot of bench presses at the combine and who are therefore ranked highly for that, who then don't do well when they get into the NFL in football. And there are guys who don't do a lot of bench presses, but get drafted and become outstanding players. So it's clear that the bench press is not a perfect predictor of future success. But the NFL still measures the idea of strength, which I don't think anybody listening would argue strength being stronger, all things being equal, which of course they never are at Butina. Strength is a good thing to have, and we need some way to measure it. So they measure strength through the proxy of the bench press. The league believes that strength is important, and the bench press represents a reasonable way to measure that strength. Not perfect, not guaranteed 100% predictive, but reasonably useful. The same is true of the 40-yard dash. Clearly, speed can matter in a football game. But they never run a 40-yard dash without pads on, in a straight line, with no fear of being blocked or tackled in an actual game. On the other hand, there are those who excel at the 40-yard dash who don't turn out to be good players. There are those who are considered slow at the 40-yard dash who go on to greatness. But the league believes speed matters. And the 40-yard dash is a reasonable way, a proxy, to measure speed. And so you don't have to think, oh, how do companies do this? That's how I felt a lot early in my career. Oh, there's a right way to do this, and I don't know what it is. And then I learned that nobody knew. In fact, this is what led to benchmarking in a lot of companies. So what proxies might you use in your situation? As a general rule, we recommend you think of using the sub-behaviors that make up the work product behaviors in our guidance of the five behaviors. If you don't know this, guys, what you're paid to do is achieve results. And the primary way somebody achieves results at work is behavior. And there are five behaviors. And this flows through everything Manager Tools does. Mike and I believe it's one of the most important conceptual contributions Manager Tools is making to the world of work. Those five behaviors are the words you say, how you say them, your facial expressions, your body language, and your work product. And work product is generally considered to be quality, quantity, accuracy, timeliness, documentation, and safety is often included. Depends on the type of job you have. I'm sure there are some people going, God, I wish I could write this down. Of course, if you were a licensee, you could have the show notes and it's all written out for you. So what we want to do is take each one of those and give you an example. Here are some proxy examples. Here are some things to think about in each of the areas. Okay. Quantity. How much work do you and your team do? That's the overarching thought. How many forms do you or your team process? How many tasks that are part of your role that you have lists of do you and your team complete? How many projects have you or your team completed? How many sales calls did you or your team make? How many errors did you or your team correct? How many tubs did your team ship? How many customer service emails did your team answer? What was your percentage of budget spent? And I could go on with a bunch more when it comes to quantity and budget, guys. Those are some simple examples. They're my favorites. Quantity is my favorite because it can be objectified, and I like that. Quality. How did your team's work compare to a defect standard? How many shipments were returned? How many bugs did you fix? How many net promoter scores over 50 did you achieve? How many rewrites did your code require? Accuracy. How few errors did your team have in all or part of its work? What was your deviance against predictions, deadlines? How many of your team's bugs did QA have to fix? What percentage of your builds passed on first test? Timeliness. How many project deadlines did you meet? How many projects were delivered on time? What percentage of parts were considered on time by shipping? Documentation. What percentage of your reports were on time? Safety. How many safety incidents did your team have? How many days in a row did your team go without a safety incident? How many injuries did your team sustain? How many safety meetings did your team attend? What was your team's average response time to safety incidents? So those are the sub-behavioral categories. Let's now talk about two additional strategic categories we need to talk about for managers. First one's people, and the second one's retention. Because normally we would say the two big things for managers are results and retention. We started the show with that, with results. But of course, all the stuff above is about getting to proxies or measures for results. But people and retention are an important part of what managers do. So for people, what percentage of your team met their deliverables? What percentage of your team were given top quintile ratings? How many of your team members were considered for or granted high potential status? What portion of your team received maximum performance or merit increases? What portion of your team completed their development plans for the year? Retention. What was your quarterly or annual retention rate? Did you lose any high potential performers? What was your team's engagement score average from the annual employee survey? And look, guys, we know the list we just ran down, probably pretty quickly for some of you, was way too long and in some ways too short. We made it longer than most of you could probably stand to give you lots of ideas, because I have found when I listen to lists like these, when I read them in books, I think, okay, that doesn't apply. But boy, I never thought of that guy's job that way. If I think of my job the way he's thinking of his job, I can think of three or four things that I could measure. If you ask me to measure Mike and I's job relative to our podcast, it would be missing a podcast delivery date. And we've never done that, right, Mike?
Nope.
No. Now, if we then went further and said, Mark meets the deadline of having the podcast show notes to Mike 6 weeks in advance, I'm not doing very well on that. When I get busy, I slip well behind on that. On the other hand, the big one, having a podcast out on time, we've never missed. Actually, I think, Mike, we've delivered late a couple of times, like a podcast was supposed to be up, but it wasn't up. I mean, we could say we put it up, but there's a difference between putting it up and it actually being up for people to download. Like a link was broken or something?
Well, they get into what's the standard. So typically our standard is to have it up by Monday. Now, we publish it Sunday night, but the standard is Monday, right?
So yeah, and for a long time it was Monday. And then our friends in India said, we would really like it before our morning commute. And so we started publishing it Sunday.
That's right. So, and you know, so we publish it early. That's what we do. But
yeah,
now, you know, as time goes on, people expect it on Sunday night. And if it's not on Sunday night, they probably think it's late, which is reasonable, right?
So. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the idea here is for the list to give you a start, to get you thinking about how to think about your job. And we could do it a lot longer with more specificity if we had more time. So that's a basic example of how to think about some of your measurements, okay? By the way, if you want to work on your measurements and you want to send us an email at customerservice@manager-tools.com and say, hey, what do you think of these measurements? We'll be happy to look at them. So having done all this, you've really only answered two of the three key questions, which is the work you do. I think you can think about your own work and how you might measure it. The actual goal you're trying to meet, and the goal being a standard within the measurement, that goal, you may want to set that yourself, or you may want to wait for your boss to set it, okay? And now we're sort of getting into understanding your risk, but the issue here is, if you've never been measured in this way before, there's a danger in agreeing to a goal if you don't know what your previous performance was against the goal. That's a potential problem.
Yeah, are you suggesting that folks not set a goal until they measured it for a while, or just understand that there's a risk there?
I would not go to my boss and say, I thought about my work. I've thought about how we can measure it. I've got some proxies here, and I'm going to recommend a standard. If I had not previously tracked that proxy and know how I performed against it. Because look, the example I gave about geometry, which is probably lame for a lot of people, I happen to like geometry, is in the US, everybody knows the standard is 90%. Although interestingly, now they're thinking about changing the standards.
Upwards, of course, right?
Folks, as you might imagine, Mike has some snark and the answer is no, downwards, of course. Yeah, pretty soon people are gonna be saying, I got an A when A's were hard to get. Of course, that's always applied to Harvard, but anyway. So the danger is your boss will say, well, look, let's choose something easy. We'll choose 85%. When in fact, this particular process is messed up and you've achieved 50% and you're kicking tail compared to a bunch of other people who are at 40 and 30%.
Right. And 85% sounds reasonable. It's just
it's not
where everybody is.
And the reason for this, folks, is because oftentimes when it comes to measuring anything at all that is publicly available, the measures that are shared publicly are going to be high. The 40-yard dash scores in the NFL Combine, there's almost nobody listening to this show that could do anything equivalent to what the 40-yard dash scores are at the Combine.
Yeah, even the worst score, right?
Yeah. And look, we certainly give a nod of our head to Six Sigma, which has transformed a lot of the corporate world. And there are places where when you start measuring, you say, well, let's figure out a way to cut costs and so on. And it was a brilliant idea. But there's a great many more places in the world where people don't know what their measures are. And it's going to be really difficult to then guess the goal. So you just got to be careful.
Well, I have an even more simple way of thinking about this, which is I have the Ozan rule of corporate survival is don't shoot yourself in the head. So if
if you're going to you may not be able to dodge a bullet if somebody else tries to shoot you in the head.
That's right.
Up,
that's right.
But don't grab the gun, put the gun into your head, and pull the trigger. Yeah.
Yeah. If before you suggest a standard, and I think the implication in most of our conversation here is that you're trying to figure out your goals. It's not your boss asking you necessarily. And so you're going to suggest something. So why in the world would you ever suggest something that you don't know that you have a pretty good chance of meeting? I don't know. Just,
yeah.
That's just me.
Exactly. I tend to agree.
So, dude, I think that's good. I think our next thing we want to talk about is understand your risk, but we're kind of reaching our time limits here. So let's cover that next week.
Happy to. I was a little verbose this week. Sorry.
All right, my friend. We'll see you next week.
See you, partner.
So long, folks. Thanks, everyone. That's it. We'll see you next week. So long.
This podcast was produced by Manager Tools. Manager Tools creates actionable management guidance every single week. To receive additional materials via our newsletter and to find products for situations you may face as a manager or professional, go to www.manager-tools.com. Search for Manager Tools on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn.